This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Wassalatu wassalamu ala al-ma'uth rahmatil lil alamin. Nabiyyina wa habibina Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallim amma ba'd. Al-yawm al-hadi wa al-ashirun min shahri Rabi' al-thani 1446 al-muwafiq li 24 من شهر أكتوبر نواصل من شهر أكتوبر 2024 نواصل درسنا في هذا الكتاب المبارك كتاب الله عز وجل. أسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يبارك فينا وفيما نتعلمه وأن يغفر لنا الزلات ويغفر للمؤلف ويرفع درجته في العليين. So بإذن الله عز وجل we continue from where we stopped last درس, which is the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, أَتَامُرُونَ النَّاسَ بِالْبِرِّ وَتَنْسَوْنَ أَنفُسَكُمْ أَنْتُمْ تَتْلُونَ الْكِتَابَ أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ. So last درس Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talk about the attitude and the behavior of the Jews, where they learned and they don't act upon their knowledge, and they hide the knowledge and they don't teach others. And not only that, they mix the truth with the falsehood. Rather than telling the truth, they hide it. The truth about Islam and the truth about Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they told people otherwise. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded them, rather than doing this, why can't you be obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and establish the prayer like anybody else, and give the charity, support and cooperate with the people in the community? That one also has not been done. Because Jew and the wealth is like the ilah. Dunya is the ilah of the Jew. Wherever dunya exists, they will be there. Yeah? That's why even in our time, they try to dominate everything. Right? Everything has to be controlled by them. If you look at the past, many of the battles between them and other countries was because of the riba. They destroyed the economy of a country, then the country would not agree. They took them away from them. And that's the reason why they don't want them to be next to them. Yeah, otherwise, who hurt them in the past? Muslimin? Salam. Who hurt them in the past? Muslimin? No. Even the so-called World War II or whatever number, the Muslims are not involved actually. That's why somebody was right when he says this is just Europeans are fighting themselves. They call it World War. It's just them. Go and read the history, it's just them fighting themselves. It doesn't reach anybody else. Yeah. So it should be called European War. Yeah. They fought themselves, they killed themselves, and then who is supposed to be the victim? Muslimin, right? And also they know who they are dealing with. They don't want them to be closer to them. That's why they take them far away from them, to our own territory. Nobody will understand these guys and let himself to be next to them. Yeah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide them. And it's good for us to understand who we're dealing with all the time. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأَقِيمُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَآتُوا الزَّكَاةَ وَارْكَعُوا مَعَ الرَّاكِعِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَارْكَعُوا مَعَ الرَّاكِعِينَ. أَتَامُرُونَ النَّاسَ بِالْبِرِّ وَتَنْسَوْنَ أَنفُسَكُمْ أَنْتُمْ تَتْلُونَ الْكِتَابَ. Another behavior of the Jew is that they command people to do good, but at the same time, they forgot themselves. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, كَيْفَ يَلِيقُ بِكُمْ يَا مَعْشَرَ أَهْلُ الْكِتَابِ. How is it appropriate for you, أَهْلُ الْكِتَابِ, to be commanding people to do good, وَتَنْسَوْنَ أَنفُسَكُمْ, and you forgot yourself. أَنْتُمْ تَأْمُرُ النَّاسَ بِالْبِرِّ وَهُوَ جِمَاءُ الْخَيْرِ. You tell them do, but you're not doing. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling them that this is not appropriate. A da'i should be the first person to apply what he is inviting people to do. You get it? Yeah. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ قَوْلًا مِمَّنْ دَعَى إِلَى اللَّهِ وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا وَقَالَ إِنَّنِي مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ أَيْ لَا أَحَدَ أَحْسَنَ قَوْلًا مِنْ مَنْ يَدْعُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ. Allahu Akbar. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, there is nobody who says something better than the statement of somebody who is inviting others to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why the best job on earth is the da'wah. The best job on earth is the da'wah. Why is it the best? Why is it the best? Because the creation of human beings and jinn is for this purpose, for the purpose of ibadah. Allah never created people to come and do anything other than the ibadah. It's halal for us to do business, to make our life comfortable so that we can worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala peacefully. Otherwise, we are supposed to be busy with the ibadah, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made other things halal for us so that we can relax in this dunya and do the right thing. That's why when the dunya contradicts the akhirah, a Muslim has to go with the akhirah. There is no dunya. He must go with the akhirah. Is that clear, inshallah? So the best job on earth is the job that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen for the prophets and the messengers. That's why it should be the job of every Muslim. Allah says, "Man ahsan qawlan mimman da'a ila Allah wa 'amila salihan." You see, he said, "Da'a ila Allah wa 'amila salihan." So he is not just inviting people, but he is also practicing the righteous deed. Wa qala innani min al-muslimin, and he always say, "I'm Muslim." What does that mean? He practiced Islam and preserved that Islamic identity. So a da'i should be the first to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to follow that which he does. That's why it's very dangerous for you to be a da'i and do the wrong thing. It's dangerous for everyone to do the wrong thing, but a da'i, no. During the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the companions always wait to see what is it going to be done by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They wait to see what is he going to be doing. They do exactly what he does. In our time also, when we are with our scholars, we're always like that, trying to see, to monitor, to see what exactly this sheikh is going to be doing. And we imitate them precisely. When I was in the school, there was an event where everyone has to come to that place. So it was in the masjid. Been done in the masjid. And then suddenly they started doing things which, you know, I believe is wrong. And the student believes this is wrong. So based on the fact that you are in the masjid, you know, trigger a doubt, big doubt to them. SubhanAllah, I know he's going to come back. After they even finish, group of students came. He said, "Sir, we have been monitoring." To see what exactly are you going to be doing. But we saw you in the place. So I told them, there's a program for everyone in the school and you have to be there. And I was there just revising my Quran. But who knows you're revising your Quran? I don't raise up my voice to do, but I was just there reading my Quran by Allah. But who knows? So since they don't know, then it creates a fitna to them. Yeah. That's why these type of things, whatever excuse you have, the best is to run away. Don't go. Iwallah. Because there are a lot of people who are just waiting for the time, you know, to see you doing, and they also do exactly the way you are doing. You get it? Yeah, I know. I was visited, I was hosting one of the student of knowledge. He graduated from Medina. So he came to my house one day, and then he saw this teddy bear, yeah, small little one with the eyes being poked and the face is totally damaged. SubhanAllah, he scared me a lot. He said, "I always have doubt in the permissibility of this, but when I see it in your house, now this doubt is removed." I said, "A'udhu billah." So when I have that one and I see this one, I say, yes, definitely student of knowledge are supposed to be very careful, because there are some people who are just waiting to see what would you be doing, they follow. You know, to see what exactly would you be doing, they will follow. In the time of Imam Ahmad, when those Mu'tazila forced him and forced many scholars to believe that Quran is created, not sifa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, against the aqidah of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. You already know the case. Imam Ahmad resist. Many scholars end up doing the tawriyah, trying to fool those evil rulers. They end up doing the tawriyah. Imam Muhammad refused. And subhanAllah, he has some issues with some of the scholars who couldn't resist. Because he believes that they have no excuse. That's why they relate. But those who are on top, you know, he can have issue with his colleagues, but they relate also this matter to Imam Shafi'i. You know, Wallahu alam bi sihatihi, but they said when he got into trouble a lot, he told them when they come, because every day they have to come and beat him. SubhanAllah, they said they beat Imam Ahmad, the amount of the beating, if they are to beat an elephant, it will die. Every morning he has to be beaten. But they will ask him, is that enough for you to be convinced that Quran is not a sifa of Allah? You say no. When they talk to Imam Shafi says, okay, let's just fool these people and go around. It is every day get beaten for what? So they ask him, how about you? You still believe that Quran is not created? He said, listen. He doesn't tell them Quran is created, but he said, listen. He said, Quran, Injil, Zabur, At-Tawrah. Can you see these? Yeah. They said, yes. And he was pointing at his fingers. He said, can you see these? He said, these are all created by Allah. But then since he says Quran, Injil, useless guys, they thought he is talking about Quran and Injil. But he's referring to his fingers. You know, my fingers are created by Allah. They say, oh, that's what we want to hear. Okay, out. Sometimes so useless person will be assigned to punish a scholar. SubhanAllah. So Imam Muhammad, somebody told him, why can't you just do what your colleagues are doing and go out? He said, no. He tried, he said, no. He said to one of them, he said, can you see the those people next to the window? He said, yes, who are they? He said, student of knowledge. And subhanAllah, every one of them was holding a pen on the paper, just waiting to see what Imam Ahmad is going to be saying. He said, do you see them, right? You see them with their papers and the pen? They're just waiting to see what word is going to come out of my mouth. And then we narrated. And then after, in a long period of time, people will not understand the situation. They will come and say, Imam Ahmad believes that Quran is created. Yeah, so he refused. So that's why this is my personal advice to all of us. Be good, resist, and make sure that you're doing the correct thing, because people are imitating you. Not just your family members. If people know that you are a student of knowledge in the community, trust me, people are looking. Yeah. So this experience, I understand that yes, people are always watching the scholars and the student of knowledge to follow the correct way, to do it according to what they see them doing. Because they always believe that what you're doing is right, which is not the case. Yeah, it's not the case. But you have to preserve this, because you cannot convince the community, you know, and it's actually very dangerous for you to tell them this. Yeah, just tell them in general that scholars are human beings. They might make mistakes, they might be. Yeah, if you were to come and tell them that I do this, I do that, maybe after this they will never take anything from you and they will get harmed. But in general, you speak about the nature of scholars. They make mistakes, they're right sometimes and they're wrong sometimes. So the only correct information is that which we take from the Quran and the Sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So as I said, the best job is the da'wah. And the best da'i is somebody who apply what he's inviting people. That's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَتَأْمُرُونَ النَّاسَ بِالْبِرِّ وَتَنْسَوْنَ أَنفُسَكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ تَتْلُونَ الْكِتَابَ. You commanding people with al-birr, and at the same time you forgot yourself, and you know what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. Question. Is it a condition that I must be practicing Sharia for me to advise people to be good? Wait. Think first. You know, you are very quick in your answers, and then when it comes to justification, you got stuck. So think first. Yeah, and then you can give us the whole package, right? Okay. Is it a condition that a person should not, you know, remind people about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unless if he's doing? It's not. But then what do you do with the ayah then?
That's ihsan.
Huh? No. Al-birr is kalima jami'ah. Mazin hafiz. Allah says, laysa al-birr. An tuwallu wujuhakum qibla al-mashriq wal-maghrib, walakin al-birr. He said, but birr is what? Man amana billah wal-yawm al-akhir. والملائكه والكتاب والنبيين وآتى المال على حبه ذوي القربى واليتامى والمساكين. A series of things, right? And Mazin told me ihsan, right? So it's a very wide, it includes all kinds of righteousness, aqidah, ibadah. These are all part of birr. It's a very broad and big word. Yeah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says atamuruna an-nasa bil birri, meaning kindness, good, ibadah, righteousness, righteous deed. وَتَنْسَوْنَ أَنفُسَكُمْ, and you forgot yourself. وَأَنْتُمْ تَتْلُونَ الْكِتَابِ. So they were blamed, yeah, they were blamed because of what? Commanding people to do good and they are not doing. Which means for a person to escape this blame, what does he do? Do first and then command. I'm not saying yes, I'm just... do first and then command. What do you think about this?
Still, I think it's not a condition.
It's not a condition. So how can you justify your statement? Where do we get this? I'm not saying you're wrong, yeah, but where do you get this? If you have a troublemaker like me and Captain asking you so many questions, what would you say to you? Let him keep quiet? Because what you told me, this is just your statement. If you substantiate it, then we will say yes. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والصلاة والسلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين نبينا وحبيبنا محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم أما بعد. Okay, so as I was saying, it is not a condition for you to be given da'wah that you have to be practicing what you are saying. However, it's a big deficiency as the scholars have mentioned. يقول أبو جعفر الطبري أبو جعفر ابن جرير الطبري says إمام أهل السنة في التفسير, right, one of the best if not number one تفسير written by our scholars, very good and excellent approach according to the تفسير بالمأثور and also أقوال الصحابة. Yes, these nice approaches, and Ibn Kathir was somehow summarizing what Ibn Jarir mentioned in his book. Yeah. So Ibn Kathir is one that we're focusing on, is somehow the summary of Ibn Jarir. That's why most instances he quote from him. So he says here, Abu Ja'far said, حدثني علي بن الحسن قال حدثنا مسلم الجرمي قال حدثنا مخرد بن الحسين عن أبي أيوب عن أيوب السختياني عن أبي قلابة قال في قوله تعالى أتامرون الناس بالبر وتنسون أنفسكم وأنتم تتلون الكتاب. Come on, please tell those ones too. He says أبو قلابة قال في قوله تعالى أتأمرون الناس بالبر وتنسون أنفسكم. You're commanding people to do righteous deed and you forgot yourself. Qala Abu Darda. So Abu Qilabah was reporting what Abu Darda said. Radiallahu anhu. Qala la yafqahu ar-rajulu kull al-fiqh hatta yamqut an-nas fi dhati Allah thumma yarji'u ila nafsihi fayakun laha ashadd maqtan. A person will not be a faqih, will not be a righteous person who understands the sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala properly, until he blames people for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of their wrongdoings. But then, at the same time, he goes back to himself and blames himself more than the way he blames others. Yeah, you want to be a true faqih and a correct person who follows the correct approach of the sharia. When you blame others, you also have to blame yourself more than the way you blame others. قال والغرض أن الله تعالى ذمهم على هذا الصنيع ونبههم على خطئهم في حق أنفسهم. See, the intent by having this ayah is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blamed them for doing this evil behavior. What is that evil behavior? Commanding people to do righteous deed and at the same time they forgot themselves. Right? They ask people to do good, but they are not practicing that good. حيث كانوا يأمرون بالخير ولا يفعلونه. They advise people to do good, to be kind, to be good, but they're not being kind and they're not good. وَلَيْسَ الْمُرَادُ. Okay, that's the answer to all of the questions I have asked. قَالَ وَلَيْسَ الْمُرَادُ ذَمَّهُمْ عَلَىٰ أَمْرِهِمْ بِالْبِرِّ مَا تَرْكِهِمْ لَهُ بَلْ عَلَىٰ تَرْكِهِمْ لَهُ. He says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not blaming them that they are commanding people to do righteous deed and they are not doing. قال ليس المراد ذمهم على أمرهم بالبر مع تركهم له. قال بل على تركهم له. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is blaming them for what? For not doing the birr. He wasn't blaming them for commanding people to do righteous deed. You get it? When Allah says أتأمرون الناس بالبر وتنسون أنفسكم, you command people to do birr and you forgot yourself. The blame is on forgetting themselves to do the birr, not commanding people to do righteous deed. You got this interpretation of Ibn Jarir al-Tabari, and this is the only correct interpretation. Right? Allah is blaming them for commanding people to do righteous deed, but at the same time, they don't do the righteous deed, they themselves. Is that clear, inshallah? So that's the understanding of our scholars. قَالَ فَإِنَّ الْأَمْرَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ مَعْرُوفٌ وَهُوَ وَاجِبٌ وَاجِبٌ عَلَى الْعَالِمِ. It says because Al-Amr bil-Ma'roof is what? Ma'roof. Right? Al-Amr bil-Ma'roof is Ma'roof. And it is wajib upon every scholar and student of knowledge who knows that Ma'roof to command people to do Ma'roof. It's haram upon a person to know Ma'roof and not command people to do Ma'roof. ولكن الواجب والأولى بالعالم أن يفعله ما أمره به. The wajib, and also that which is better for the alim, the scholar, is to command people and at the same time also he's doing what he asked them to do. That's much better. It's wajib and much better for him also. You get it? Because people will find it so strange if you ask them to do something and you're not doing the same thing. Yeah, that's why you see a lot of people in the house, they face a lot of challenges. You will say he tells his wife to do something and she is not willing to follow. Why? Because he is also not doing. She's not doing because he doesn't do. I mean, she's wrong for sure, because if what he is asking her to do is good, she should do whether he does or he doesn't do. But sometimes if you are the qudwa in the house, people follow you, right? They want to see, are you doing or not? If you don't do, then there will be no motivation or incentive to them to do the same thing. The same goes to your children. They also, if you are not doing that which you command them to do, they might not do what you ask them to do. So it's necessary for you to be well disciplined in doing that which you advise anyone to do. Then they will be able to do it. قال وهو واجب على العالم ولكن الواجب والأولى بالعالم أن يفعله ما أمرهم به ولا يتخلف عنهم كما قال شعيب. Shouldn't command people and then stay away from doing that command. It doesn't make sense, as I said. You tell them it's good, but they don't see you do it. You tell them it's bad, but they see you doing it. It doesn't make sense. And it would be very difficult for them to understand what you are talking about. If it is good, why can't you do it for us? That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَأَنذِرْ عَشِيرَتَكَ الْأَقْرَبِينَ, and advise the close relative to you, your closest relative. You advise them. Why the closest relative? Because people will say, if he is to advise his relative, and usually and naturally people don't bring evil to their own family members. So when they see him advising his own people in the same way, many people are going to say, yeah, that means it's correct. Otherwise, if it is evil, he will never bring it home. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked him to start with his people first. You get it? You start with your people first. So if you start with them and people see them doing and you are doing, then others will be motivated. Otherwise, when they don't see you doing, your relatives also are not doing, and then you're commanding the community to do, who is going to obey you? Nobody. So don't advise people and go and do the opposite. That's why Shu'aib said to his people, وَمَا أُرِيدُ أَنْ أُخَالِفَكُمْ إِلَى مَا أَنْهَاكُمْ عَنْهُ. مَا أُرِيدُ أَنْ أُخَالِفَكُمْ إِلَى مَا أَنْهَاكُمْ عَنْهُ. He said, I don't want to advise you to do something and then I go behind you and do something else. إِنْ أُرِيدُ إِلَّا الْإِصْلَاحِ. He said, I would never command you and then go and do something else. I don't want anything from you except islah, to bring maslaha to the community. And this is what all the da'wah of the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all about. Bringing maslaha and eradication of evil and mafsada. إِنْ أُرِيدُ إِلَّا الْإِصْلَاحَ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُ. So whatever you see me doing is to bring maslaha to you, to benefit you, to guide you to that which will bring maslaha to your life. وَمَا تَوْفِيقِي إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ تَوَكَّلْتُ وَإِلَيْهِ أُنِيبُ. So I depend on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He's the only one who will grant me tawfiq to be able to do the right thing and also to convince you. Because His job is to invite. Right? His job is to invite. But He doesn't have the power and ability to make them convince. Nobody has this. This is Allah's job. To make a person understand and see the truth and do it, only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can do that. That's why He told the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِنَّكَ لَا تَهْدِي مَنْ أَحْبَبْتَ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ. You cannot guide whoever you want, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who guides whoever He wants. Which type of hidayah is this? Hidayatu tawfiq. You have two types of hidayah, hidayatu irshad and hidayatu tawfiq. Hidayatu irshad is the one that we can do. Yeah? Hidayatu irshad is the one that we can do. What is hidayatu irshad? What we are doing right now. You know, explaining what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, what Allah says, you go to the people and tell them what they should do. You know, you are guiding them. Hidayatu irshad. Hidayatu tawfiq is to make those people see what you're seeing, understand what you're seeing, and to make them accept what you are saying, what you're calling them upon. This is tawfiq. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِنَّكَ لَا تَهْدِي مَنْ أَحْبَبْتَ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ. You cannot guide whosoever you wish, you want, but Allah is the one who does that. That's why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tried his best to guide who? Abu Talib. But he did not accept. He died in Kufr. Yeah, because that is hidayat tawfiq, a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He gave it to whomsoever He wants. قال عليه توكلت وإليه أنيب فكل من الأمر بالمعروف وفعله واجب. Both أمر بالمعروف and doing the ma'ruf, both of them are wajib. So if a person called people to do righteous deed, he is doing the wajib. And also if he does the righteous deed, he himself, he is doing the wajib. لا يسقط أحدهما بترك الآخر. One of them is not going to be canceled because of not doing the other one. You get it? You cannot say, okay, don't invite people to the righteous deed because you are not doing the righteous deed. It doesn't go like that. Right? You don't tell the person, don't do da'wah unless if you're doing. No. It is wajib upon him to give da'wah, and it is wajib upon him also to be righteous. If he gives the da'wah, but he's not righteous, he got the sin of not being righteous, but he got the reward of giving the da'wah. And he would not be held responsible of not giving the da'wah because he did. Except if people imitate him in the evil deed he's doing, then he will be responsible, you know, of that. You know, if people stop doing the righteous deed because he is not doing, then he will be responsible. So he said, لا يسقط أحدهما بترك الآخر على أصح قولي العلماء. This is the best statement of the Salaf al-Saleh. وذهب بعضهم إلى أن مرتكب المعاصي لا ينهى غيره عنها وهذا ضعيف. Ibn Jarir says, but there are some people who believe that a sinner, somebody who is committing sin, is not allowed to go and advise others. Yeah, this is wrong, as Ibn Jarir said, it's wrong. Yeah. For sure, to combine both is always better, but it's not necessary that a person cannot do the da'wah unless if he is righteous. وَأَضَعَفُ مِنْهُ تَمَسُّكُهُمْ بِهَذِي الْآيَةِ. He said, what is weaker than that statement is that they are using this ayah to support what they are. تَأْمُرُونَ بِالْبِرِّ وَتَنْسَوْنَ أَنفُسَكُمْ. They said this is the evidence that shows that you cannot give da'wah without you being the one who practices what he inviting people to do. Ibn Jarir said this is so weak in terms of istidlal. إِنَّهُ لَا حُجَّةَ لَهُمْ فِيهَا. Because they don't have any evidence, any support from this ayah. وَالصَّحِيهُ. He said the best opinion is that أَنَّ الْعَالِمَ يَأْمُرُ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَإِنْ لَمْ يَفْعَلْهُ. A scholar command people to do righteous deed even if he doesn't do. وَيَنْهَا عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. A student of knowledge or scholar command people to do ma'roof even if he doesn't do. And he stopped them from doing evil deed even if he does it. قال مالك عن ربيعة سمعت سعيد بن جبير يقول لو كان المرء لا يأمر بالمعروف ولا ينهى عن المنكر. Imam Malik said, Sa'id ibn Jubair said, if a person believes that, or if a person becomes that, a person believes that, yani he do the ma'ruf, لا يأمر بالمعروف ولا ينهى عن المنكر, if he believes that he cannot do the ma'ruf, and he cannot do he cannot stay away from the munkar, حتى لا يكون فيه شيء ما ما أمر أحد بمعروف. And this person is not doing the أمر بمعروف and he's not doing the نهي عن المنكر out of the fear that he might be doing the wrong thing and then people will see him doing the he's the one who is commanding people to do righteous deed and then he is doing the wrongdoing he himself. He said, if a person is going to believe in this, then who is going to do Amr ibn Ma'ruf and Nahy al-Munkar in this dunya then? Question, who is the person among us in this classroom who doesn't make a mistake?
Nobody.
Please, if there is, can come forward, we give you the mic so that we can. Yeah, we need to discuss with you, how did you escape shaitan? But you get this statement, right? If you say that you have to be a very good and excellent righteous person who doesn't commit sin for you to do Amr ibn Ma'ruf and Nahy al-Munkar, then there will be nobody who will be doing Amr ibn Ma'ruf and Nahy al-Munkar. قال مالك صدق من الذي ليس فيه شيء. Imam Malik said, wallahi, this is true. Because who is that person that doesn't have problem in this dunya? He said, صدق. مَنْ دَلَّتِي لَيْسَ فِيهِ شَيْءٍ. Who is that person that does not have any issue? قلت Ibn Kathir says, لَكِنَّ أَوَّ الْحَالُ هَذِهِ مَذْمُومٌ عَلَى تَرْكِ الطَّاعَةِ وَفِعْلُ الْمَعْصِيَةِ لِعِلْمِهِ بِهَا وَمُخَالِفَتِهِ عَلَى بَصِيرَةِ. But this person, at the same time also, he is blamed for not doing what? عَلَى تَرْكِ الطَّاعَةِ وَفِعْلُ الْمَعْصِيَةِ. Because he knows, if he stopped doing the righteous deed, and he stopped doing the righteous deed, and he engaged in the ma'asi, he will be blamed. He will be blamed because he knows what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and he's doing the opposite. فَإِنَّهُ لَيْسَ مَنْ يَعْلَمْ كَمَنْ لَا يَعْلَمْ. Because the one who knows is not equal to the one who doesn't know. Get it? In Islam, the one who knows is not equal to the one who doesn't know. That's why the punishment of a scholar, if he's doing the ma'asi, is harder and severe than the punishment of a normal person who doesn't have the knowledge. You get it? That's the sensitivity of the matter. If you are a scholar and you don't command people to do, you are a scholar and you don't do what you are advising people to do, you engage in an evil deed, the punishment is greater than the punishment of a normal person who doesn't know. Not doesn't know the punishment or doesn't know the hukum, but who doesn't have knowledge in the way you have. In Islam, if you have some virtues, you have some fada'il, and you do something wrong, the punishment is going to be greater. But here there is some correction to be made, because whenever we say punishment is greater, people think that it will be multiplied, the amount of the sins. No, this one is the same. You are a good person, you are a scholar. If you commit sin, you have the same amount being written like the normal person. But then the quantity of the punishment, the size of the punishment differs from a person to another person. You get it. Huh? The wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them that virtue, that fadl. He says, whoever goes against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yudha'af laha al-'adhabu dhi'fayn. Allah will double the punishment. He doesn't double the amount of the sin, but he says the punishment will be multiplied. And he says, وَمَنْ يَقْلُتْ مِنْ كُلَّ لِلَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ وَتَعْمَلْ صَالِحًا نُؤْتِهَا أَجَرْهَا مَرَتَيْنِ. And whoever amongst you is qanita. What is qunut? دوام الطاعة. Anyone who is righteous amongst you, and she kept her istiqama, straightforward and steadfast fastness, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we will give her reward twice. So a scholar, a student of knowledge, who practices Sharia based on knowledge, his reward is more valuable than the normal person, if he acts upon the knowledge. That's the benefit of becoming a scholar. And at the same time also, if you are to become a bad person, the punishment might be double. That's why Sahib al-Zabad says, وَعَالِمٌ بِعِلْمِهِ لَا يَعْمَلًا مُعَذَّبٌ مِنْ قَبْلِ عُبَّادِ الْوَثَنِ. You see, then the scholar who is not using his knowledge, who is not acting upon his knowledge, might be punished before the idol worshippers. You know, that's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in this hadith, he said, مَثَلُ الْعَالِمِ الَّذِي يُعَلِّمُ النَّاسَ الْخَيْرَ وَلَا يَعْمَلُ بِهِ كَمَثَلِ السِّرَاجِ يُضِيءُ لِلنَّاسِ وَيُحْرِقُ نَفْسَهُ. The example of a scholar who is teaching people good, but he doesn't apply that good, is just like the lantern. You know the lantern, or the one they have the candle with the fire, right? It is giving people light, but it burns itself. Giving people light by burning itself. Because on the day of judgment, they will receive a very heavy punishment, right? The Prophet Allah said, مَرَرْتُ لَيْلَةَ أُسْرِي بِي عَلَىٰ قَوْمٍ شِفَاهُمْ على قوم شفاههم تقرض بمقاريض من نار أعوذ بالله قال من هؤلاء قال خطباء أمتك من أهل الدنيا كانوا يأمرون الناس بالبر وينسون أنفسهم وهم يتلون الكتاب أفلا يعقلون. رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم said on the day I went to the Mi'raj, the Isra wal Mi'raj, I passed through a people, because he saw Jannah, he saw hell. He said he passed through a people, and those people, there is something like a hook or meshed, you know, from metal with so many teeth, and their lips have been scratched, been destroyed, you know. Subhanallah. And this thing, this metal thing which has so many teeth, like the comb, is taken from hell. They are punished inside hell with this kind of punishment. Their faces, their lips have been scratched. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked them, who are these people? And he was told that these are the khutaba of the ummah. Those people are giving the khutbah, but not necessarily khatib. It means a scholar. Those people who are teaching people to do good, but they don't practice the good. وَيَنْسَوْنَ أَنفُسَهُمْ. And they forgot themselves. وَهُمْ يَتْلُونَ الْكِتَابِ. And they have the book with them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَفَلَا يَعْقِلُونَ. Why can't they use the aql to understand how serious is the matter and be the first to apply what they are doing? So please do understand the Quran correctly. One of the ayat used by those people is to say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, He says, "Alaykum anfusakum, la yadurukum man dhalla idha ihtadaytum." So you are negligent, you have to be perfect, just be busy fixing yourself. You know, don't command people to do righteous deed as long as you're not doing. And if you're doing the righteous deed, you can just relax. The evilness of an evil person will never harm you. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, he says, "Wallahi, you are misunderstanding this ayah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never meant this." He says, if you don't do the ma'ruf, and you don't ask people to do the ma'ruf, and you don't stay away from munkar, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to punish you. In some narration, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put, you know, the criminal, you know, amongst you, sallatahum Allahu alaykum. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make them dominate in the situation. In the way the best people among, punish you, they'll put you into a very terrible situation. In the way the righteous people will be asking Allah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never listen to their invocation. So Amr al-Ma'ruf is necessary. Otherwise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala might punish us through the evil doers among us. So what is the meaning of the ayah? Alaykum anfasakum, mind your business. The ayah should be interpreted in this way. As long as, alaykum anfusakum, la yadurukum man dhalla idha ihtadaytum. As long as you are righteous and you are inviting people to righteousness. As long as you are righteous and you invite people to righteousness, you will not be harmed by the evil doing of those people who refuse to accept you. I do righteous deed and I command him to do the righteous deed, but he doesn't want to listen. I would not be harmed if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to punish him. I would not be included because I did what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked me to do. But if you don't do the righteous deed, or you don't command people to do righteous deed, when the punishment comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a person will be included. Is that clear, inshallah? So that's the best way to understand these ayat. Amru bil ma'ruf is the job of every Muslim. Not fulan wa illan. It's the job of everyone. If you don't do, you get sin. And everyone does it according to his ability. There are some people among us who can talk. They have to talk. There are some people among us who can use hand to correct. They have to use hand and correct. There are some people, inshallah, they will stop. There are some... Tell them, please, they are supposed to be the example of the university. Yeah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَتَأْمُرُونَ النَّاسَ بِالْبِرِّ وَتَنْسَوْنَ أَنفُسَكُمْ. Ibn Kathir narrated, you know, so many hadiths that carry the same meaning of the previous one. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَتَأْمُرُونَ النَّاسَ بِالْبِرِّ وَتَنْسَوْنَ أَنفُسَكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ تَتْلُونَ الْكِتَابَ أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you forgot yourself, you know, you're commanding people to do righteous deed, but at the same time you forgot yourself. أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ. Why can't you use your aql and understand the seriousness of the matter, and combine both, commanding people to do righteous deed, and also you observing the righteousness by yourself. So I guess that's the best place to stop. This is the most distorted class we ever had in the Hukuma of Hamad. I'm just kidding, Hamad. So we stop here for questions and answers. I'm stopping not because of this, but because the next ayah needs really focus. So we need to have a very clear environment. Yeah. Inshallah. What we do next time when we come, I think we should just use the keys and lock the doors if we start the class. We leave only one with the bodyguard. Yeah. No, it's necessary. Yeah, work us, inshallah. So we will not disturb anyone and nobody will disturb us, right? Because it's inappropriate to have classes like this, tafsir or any class about Rabbul Alameen, and there is noise or anybody who is there committing sin. Because if you talk when the classes are going on, then the person will get sin. Many of us don't know this, but this is true. In the classes where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's name is being raised and people are studying about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, making noises impermissible. So we should help others. Since we have the key, we just lock. But inshallah, tomorrow, please do book. I'll do book there. Okay, any question? I don't know whether it works because it shows us. Okay, sure.
Okay, Sheikh. Jazakumullah khairan. Wa ahsan ilayk fi dunya wal akhirah. Sheikh, the first question is by Siti Fatima. Can women commute to public transport like taxi where the driver is a non-mahram, since the sister cannot choose a female driver option in the e-hailing service, in the taxi service?
Well, I don't know, but what I know is that there are options like this, and a person choose whatever he wants. And many scholars call it khalwa. And also after seeing what we see nowadays, being people who are harassed badly by the drivers from time to time, I think it's enough as an evidence for a sister to make sure that she uses the cab that is, the driver is a female. Yeah. It's better for her. I mean, this doesn't need any evidence or anything. Just look at what is going on nowadays. Even in the best places also, it happens in that way. Yeah, and I think this option is still there. The person can look for somebody to do that for them, inshallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us good.
Okay, Sheikh. The next question by the same sister. Are we sinful just to invest money in certain investment funds which is not 100% Sharia compliant according to the Quran and Sunnah?
Yes, you cannot invest in a place where you know that it's not Sharia compliant. It's a sinful act. And the money you are earning will be haram money. You know.
Sorry, Sheikh. They told me they don't have to listen because it's an IEM event.
Allah guide them.
Okay, Sheikh. Next question is by Sister Sana. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Sheikh. Hayakullah. Can you elaborate on the way the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam disciplined his wives? Barakallahu fiqh.
That's a very long question. How did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam discipline his wives?
Maybe summarize.
Yes, five sticks.
Maybe three major points.
I mentioned five, so I'm good, right? Yeah, five sticks, you know, three Kalashnikovs, and 10 swords, you know. SubhanAllah. His way is unique, which is very difficult but easy for somebody who is willing to follow. Yeah. His way is very unique. And I'm speaking to the brothers, huh? Sisters should block their ears. Yeah. But this is true. Your kindness. Yeah. They don't need to say no, this is not who we are, but your kindness, your dedication, softness, gentleness at home, forgiveness, tolerance is more than enough to make your wife, yes. It would be one of the worst moments to see you getting angry and upset in the house. That was what is happening in the house of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's why no beating, no angry face. Rarely get angry, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because they rarely made him angry. Rarely make him angry. And how did he manage to do it? Nothing. Except that kindness, extraordinary kind, soft and gentle, approachable, and loving person. They know this, that the Prophet ﷺ lives for them and cares for them. That's why he doesn't care to command the soldiers, around how many, 500 of them, to command them to go and look for the necklace that belongs to Aisha. Trust me, no, I don't think there is an army on earth, not in the past, not today, they will listen to this. Because of jewelry for sisters, these are soldiers, you know, soldiers. I study my secondary school in the middle of Army Barrack. Yeah, I know how this is government secondary school, but in the middle of the barrack. I know how harsh is that kind of life. you will lie. No mercy to anyone. And you will see them punishing an old man, and they will punish you. After the punishment, then they will ask you what exactly happened. They will ask you for justification after you being punished. So to ask the army, the soldiers, during the battle to serve a woman, and don't forget the old life of the Arabs, although Islam already deleted it, but these are soldiers, you know. But when she lost that one, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam kept them in that place. Nobody can go, and they have to listen. You know, and they have to go and look for that jewelry. Not that wait for her to go and look for it, no. You, why don't you think properly, you know? We here, you kept us here. No, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, go and read all the versions of the narration of this story. It's like there is nothing happened. Actually, he was at ease. And he told the believers, please help her to get it. It's not good for her to go back without it. SubhanAllah, they got annoyed, but they cannot say anything because this is a command from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They went and they kept on looking, they couldn't find. They went to Abu Bakr. They said, do you see what your daughter is doing? That shows that they were not happy, right? They said, do you see what your daughter is doing? He doesn't know. He just knew that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, we should stop here, because this is what he usually does. So he said, what did she do? They said, she kept the believers here in this place, and there is no water for us to make wudu. Abu Bakr said, she did that? They said, yes, she got annoyed. He rushed very quickly to Aisha. Unfortunately for him, and also at the same time, fortunately for Aisha, that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to tell you that there was nothing with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I mean, to him, there is nothing. What was he doing? Aisha was sitting down. Most likely they were just talking, normal talk. And he felt exhausted. He went to sleep. Aisha told him to sleep, put his head on her thigh. So he was making pillow with her thigh. What does that mean? There is no issue. So he was sleeping like that. So Abu Bakr came and he found Aisha, like she's taking care of a baby with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam like that. Abu Bakr doesn't know what to do. He's also scared of punching her. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam will wake up. Yeah, so he went to her. He pinched her from this spot. Very hardly. Aisha said it was so painful. I'm supposed to cry. But then she said, I remember that if I cry, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam will wake up. My tears will come down, he will wake up. She said, I tried to manage to do everything possible not to move my legs so that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam will wake up. SubhanAllah, this is the house of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You get it? Who is like that among the brothers? She dropped down something, that means her qiyama already begin. Ewallah. She called him, he rejected her badly and go back home and scolded her. When he is at home, she has to be nervous. Whatever mistake he does, he's going to talk about every single tiny thing. How is she supposed to let her relax? And then you're talking about punishment and all of these things. Wallah, if you follow the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I wish our brothers would listen to this. If you follow the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, women are supposed to be naturally that easy and simple. That's why they say, al-mar'atu ala deen zawjiha. I said, sisters shouldn't make comment. Huh? Even if I mention something wrong about them, they should just believe and keep quiet. Right? They're very simple people. Ewallah, I'm very serious on this. They're very simple people. But it depends on what you're doing to live with them. You live like Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, trust me, you will get the same result, inshallah, or something closer to that. You will never need to shout at your wife or to raise up your hand and hit her throughout your life. And you're going to see the vast majority of your life with her is good and kindness and lovely life. But unfortunately, before you get a student of knowledge like this, very difficult these days. Yeah, very difficult. Unfortunately. Our students, our scholars, you know, we the student of knowledge, we're not doing that, what we're supposed to be doing. That's why many of our wives are suffering. Wallah, suffering. In the way the wives of the people of dunya are not suffering. And our wives are suffering. Because of too much demand and intolerance. Rajul, you also are making mistakes. Why can't you open the doors for her to correct? Create a very good and healthy environment. And these people are very emotional, very emotional. A simple thing can hurt them. You are not like that. So if you don't have a conducive environment at home, and you are demanding from her to be like this, how is it possible for her to do whatever you want her to do? But you don't create a base for it. That Arab man was truthful when he says, أثبت العرش ثم انقش. Provide the base and then you can write on it. Yeah, if I don't have the conducive environment for my wife to be doing the right thing, how am I going to expect her to do the right thing? Rasulullah said something like that. That's why to answer that question once again, is to say that Rasulullah has a lot of nice, lovely weapons at home to discipline his wife. Weapon number one, tolerance. Weapon number two, patience. Weapon number three, very lenient. And he loves his wives very much. They ask him, even in front of others, who do you love the most? He said, Aisha. I mean, they ask him, who do you love the most? He said, Aisha. They said, no, we're not asking about sisters. We're asking about the brothers. He said, Abuha, her father. SubhanAllah. Aisha radiallahu anha was with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at home, and then the Abyssinians comes to play their games, their cultural games. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Aisha, would you like to see, to watch? She said, yes. She came, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam let her, she put her, what do you call this?
Chin,
right? She put it on the shoulder of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And she was watching. And he would tell her, is that enough? He wants to go, but he doesn't want to disturb her. He will ask her, is it enough for you? For us? I give you 5 minutes. But for him, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he will ask her, is it enough? She said, no. I want to keep watching. Up to the moment she told him, I'm satisfied. Then he told her, let's go home. Yeah. Who is that person who cares about his family and the way Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam does? They were on the way to somewhere, right? And Aisha was in the Hawdaj, in that small house on top of the camel. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he is thinking about her because she's alone. He has other people to talk to, but she doesn't have. And this is also another point which our brothers are lacking. Yeah. Another point which our brothers are lacking. Omar, we're going to hold you accountable of this because he's going to marry and then he will say, I forgot this part, right? Many of us, when you go out, you come back at night. Your wife is living, she's a housewife, taking care of her kids. Sometimes there is no kid. She's alone in that house. She can only communicate with you when you come back. And then when you come back home, you come with all of the mashakil of the working office to the house. Imagine she has been alone, suffering from that loneliness. And then you come back with the mashakil also. Rather than seeing good face, at least alhamdulillah, compensation has arrived, but she sees another face. That's wrong, ya wallah. And we found our students and our brothers doing this. That's wrong. You should have time. If you know the nature of your wife, she doesn't have anyone in the house, send her a message. How do you do? How are you doing? Even if it is nifaq, no problem, send it. She will be happy with that. She will appreciate it. I don't want to say uqsimu billah, but I don't think there is a wife on earth who the husband would be contacting her to say salam to her when he is absent, and she would not appreciate this. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was with the army. He told Aisha, he told the army first, run away. You guys move. He asked him, Ya Rasulullah, is everything fine? He said, no problem. I have something with my wife here. They said, okay. They left. Yeah, because he cannot do that in the presence of others, which we do nowadays, unfortunately. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told them to leave. So he told Aisha, come down. She came down. He asked her. She asked him, Ya Rasulullah, what happened? Because she knows that there are soldiers with him, but now nobody's there except him and her. She said, Ya Rasulullah, is everything okay? He said, yeah, it's okay. Everything's fine. He said, I just want to ask you this. Would you like to race? SubhanAllah. Why is he asking her to come down? Because he feels that she's bored, right? That's why he told her, just come, let's do racing. To give her some fresh moment. Student of knowledge, running with his wife. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, right? Yeah. May Allah guide us. Wallahi, may Allah guide us. Yeah, you should have all of these. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam played with his wife. Who are you and your scholarship to say that you will not play with your wife? But we don't. And wallahi, you don't know how much that will bring to you and to your family and good life between you and your family if you come and do the right thing and play with them in the house. Otherwise, life is going to be very dry. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told Jabir, why don't you marry a young person that you will play with her and she plays with you? Because when you marry an old woman, she is usually serious. Rasulullah said, why didn't you marry a young person? Somebody who can play with you. So they did the race. Who won? She won. Yeah, she won the race. When they come back, the Prophet said, okay, happy? Then she goes back to the room. She was so happy. You know, Rasulullah said, okay, let's go and catch up the companions. They went and they meet them. On another occasion, Rasulullah also, he has happened to be with her. He told the companions, move forward. He told them, I have something with Aisha here. He told Aisha to come down. Aisha, she remembered the past. The Prophet told her, Aisha, would you like to do the racing again? She said, yes, Ya Rasulullah. It means if you want to lose again, then we can go ahead. They did the race again. And this time, who won? Rasulullah won. When they come back, Rasulullah told her, Aisha, this is my revenge. And then they left. So to summarize this, it is my personal request, you know, to those who are married among you, please, yeah, readjust the way you live with your family. Wallah, it's a very good life. You are supposed to be the person that enjoy marital life. Because you know what Sharia says. Your house is supposed to be Jannah. Your family are enjoying, you are enjoying. You're supposed to be a person who has no place that is better than home, because he knows that he's going to meet somebody who is really qualified to be with him. And life between them is so excellent because they observe what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was doing. But it is not like that. So it is my personal advice to all of our brothers who married, please revisit your life with your family members. Be good, be kind, be gentle, be soft. Be tolerant. Be somebody who is forgiving. Imitate Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this regard. For those people who are not married yet, Allah a'inukum. Yeah, please, don't repeat the mistake our brothers and sisters are doing. You get it? Learn. Train yourself. You know, study how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is living with his family members. And tell yourself, this is the life I choose myself and I'm going to be patient. To annoy shaitan in that regard is always good. So my answer to the sister who is asking is that the Prophet ﷺ has a lot of weapons in the house, but this is the way the weapons looks like. You get it? No physical weapons, but it's all spiritual weapons. Because he knows who he's dealing with. It's a very emotional person who wants kindness. That's why I closed with this statement. They said, what a woman is looking for in marriage is different from what the man is looking for. Right? You know, what is she looking for? No, you are the one who is looking for comfort. Your wife is not looking for comfort. Oh, imagine married there. Ah, oh, that's why he is. I wish his wife is listening to tell you, no, I'm not looking for this. No. No, I'll put it in another way, Sajjad. Yeah. It's what our scholars put it in this way, taking from the hadith of Ummu Zara, ad-difa. To believe that she is next to somebody who loves and cares for her. That's it. You are the one. Allah says, liyaskuna ilayha. He did not say, litaskuna ilayhi. You be comforted, right? That's why who get tired of marriage quicker? Sisters, not the brothers. Never get tired. That's why always he's the one who is fighting and complaining. Anyways, so please do understand this, right? Because if you do understand this, then you will be able to do right thing. It's not about you giving her money. No, it's not, wallah. It's not. There are people who have everything, but she's depressed because of the behavior of the husband. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what do you find in the house of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Nothing. Subhanallah, the mat the Prophet ﷺ was sleeping on was something that is very harsh. When he sleep on it, you can see the lines on the Prophet ﷺ. One piece of cloth and the plate that he eats food, and that's it. But he's the most happiest person on earth. And his wives are the most happiest people because they enjoy what life with a husband means. We have everything. How many clothes you have? 10, 20, 30. And she has how many? A lot. Your house is full of food, but she's always depressed. And this is what Umm Zarah said. She said when she married the second person, she got divorced by the first one. She said the second one is more richer than the first one and give me better than the first one. But subhanAllah, she cannot forget the life that she had with the first one. She said, if I am to combine everything I got from the second one, you know, everything the second one gave me, it is not equivalent and equal to one cup that I got from Abu Zarah, the previous husband. What did she lose from the second one? He gave her money. He told her, even you can bring your family members also to come and take from my wealth. But what did she lose? She lost that which she's looking for. He's not acting as a husband. The harshness, lack of tolerance, everything is there, but he gave money. Money cannot give a wife what she's looking for. So I guess the message, inshallah, reach all of us, right? So please, 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 I'm really begging you, because I have situations, you know, from long time up to date, receiving situations of our brothers and sisters who are not doing the right thing in this regard. In the way the spouses became depressed. So please, we need this approach of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in our homes. May Allah grant us good and tawfiq, and also let those people who are still single marry on time, right? Inshallah. May Allah grant you good. I guess Maghrib time already arrived, right? So I would delay all the questions for the next class. Thank you very much for your patience and coming from this class to another class and this class to another class. Inshallah. Thank you very much. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.